Wait for it.
There's no need to wait, geeks. We are back. This is the Active Geek Podcast with your hosts, Jim and Chuck. And this is officially the after show of the Book of Boba Fett, in which we have called the Book of Boba Fett Book Club. I know, rolls right off the tongue, and it's classy, but we're going to talk about it. It's been 7 weeks. We've watched all the episodes, some more than once, probably all more than once, and I have some questions, and I want to talk to you about it, because this was a series that, for us, spoiler alert, I think we both really enjoyed.
Yeah, definitely.
But for the rest of the Star Wars community and maybe some casuals, it was kind of not well received. It was one of those middle of the pack ones. You either love it or you hate it. So we'll get into it. Spoiler warning to follow. This is not going to be a normal episode. We're not going to talk trailers. We're not going to talk news, and we're not going to share about comics. We'll do that in a few weeks. But this is our after show for the Book of Boba Fett. If you haven't watched it, tune out now. Binge the hell out of the series and get back to us with this episode. So, Chuck, let's kind of just start off with the breakdown of the series. In my mind, I want to know if you agree with me on this one. This series took one story and turned it into three separate stories. Is that something that you would agree with?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Okay. We're going to break down each story. We're going to try and keep this as uniformed as possible without going full tangent, because we know how much you love Boba Fett.
Yeah, how much Boba Fett t-shirt right now.
I knew it. You're probably in a Boba Fett G-string, but that's for later.
No, I'm not wearing pants.
Well, that's a plus. True Boba Fett fashion.
Yeah.
But we're going to break down the first story, and that centers around Boba Fett. And obviously the whole series centers around Boba Fett, but I want to know what you thought about the first story being told in this series, where Boba Fett is emerging from the Sarlacc pit and becoming accepted by the Sand People. Because that was, I would say, about 5 or 6 episodes worth of flashbacks and story building. So what did you think about that first part of the story?
I liked it, you know, because we've said from the get-go, like, how did he survive? And the Sarlacc pit, he didn't get eaten. Well, I mean, he was more swallowed. So, you know, and we've talked about this numerous times. He is a fan favorite for a lot of people, and he's only been in the original series for like 13 minutes.
Yeah.
So the fact they were bringing him was huge. And like, how did he survive? How did he live? And, you know, it's kind of what we expected. He escaped the Sarlacc pit. And I really liked, you know, from The Mandalorian, we knew that his armor was taken by the Jawas. So he was kind of left to dead. And that the Tusken Raiders came and at first imprisoned him.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got the little, what was it, Pink Greedo, who was a little snitch.
Yeah, a little Pink Rodian. Come on, you got to do better than that, my Rodian friend.
It was... I liked it because, you know, a lot of people were complaining that, oh, you know, he's not hard. He's not this killer. No, he's this is like Batman beyond Boba Fett. You know what I mean?
I like that.
He's an older Boba Fett. And this was kind of, you know, with him being from the Sarlacc pit and him being basically inducted into this tribe of Tusken Raiders, this was a life-changing event for him.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think what people are neglecting to realize is that a brush with death can really change your outlook and your perspective of life.
Mm-hmm.
Boba Fett entered a creature that nobody gets out of, and he got out of it. And I thought that the escape from the Sarlacc was very cool. The use of the Stormtrooper's respirator I thought was neat. And then the evolution of the story from there, as far as the past tense. It gave me Western vibes. It gave me Ronin vibes, like Japanese samurai vibes, where, you know, he's imprisoned. He was a Mandalorian. He still is a Mandalorian, but he's a Mandalorian with no you know, with no faction. So he essentially is a space Ronin, adopted by, well, imprisoned by the Tuskens, and then really learned through punishment at this point how to become part of that group, and he found his own faction. The thing about these new Star Wars series that Filoni and Favreau have really kind of expanded on are the weird character dynamics and the cultural impact of them. You saw it with the Jawas in The Mandalorian. You're seeing it with the Sand People in Book of Boba Fett. But additionally, you're seeing different versions of villains, right? You're seeing the Speeder Gang. You're seeing the Pikes. You're seeing the four-armed Clash of the Titans version, Goro. You know, you're seeing these different species coming out of the woodworking to add to the already established storyline. But in addition, you're also seeing, like, how important the Banthas are to the Tuskens. And there's, like, a political aspect to this whole series where you're seeing the dynamics of the Tuskens are the rightful heirs to the sand desert of Tatooine, but then the Pikes are coming in to run Spice, and it's really, you know, it kind of pays homage to, like, the indigenous people of Australia, the indigenous people of America, and how land has been taken throughout the course of history, not only in our world, but in a galaxy far, far away. So the first story is kind of where I thought they were going to find their voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then they threw the second story in, and it shifted to the more current timeline with the Pike Syndicate running Spice to Mos Eisley and Boba Fett finding Fennec and Fennec getting fixed up, and, you know, the introduction of Cad Bane, the mods, and all these characters. This is where I think it kind of lost its voice for a second, because there were times in the series where it was a little campy.
Yeah.
And it was, the campiness was the present day stuff. The gritty, the less spaghetti Western was the flashbacks. And I liked the flashbacks more. But in terms of this new current timeline with the Pikes, Cad Bane, the mods, and everything going on in Mos Eisley, what did you think of that story that was being told?
I like that he introduced the Pikes to the live action, because that's something the animated and comics have been, you know,
big on the
Pikes. Big on for a long time is the Pikes. So to have the Pike Syndicate, and, you know, this is more of a, and this is the one thing that, like, I liked about the series, that this was the most grounded Star Wars. Like, if you watch everything else, The Mandalorian is going from world to world. Star Wars, you know, they're on Hoth, they're on Endor. This was all on Tatooine. And I kind of liked that it was more of like a, like you said, Western, grounded, literally, like they were on one world, story. And I like the Pikes. I didn't like the way they looked without their masks, because I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah, they looked like the fish.
Yeah. I was like, oh, they're fish people.
Did you see who played the leader of the Pikes?
I saw it, but I don't remember.
Phil Lamar.
Yeah, yeah. I knew it was someone I recognized. But that, we were introduced to more of the Hutts.
Yeah, we're going to get into them. Don't worry.
And I liked all that. Black Chrysanthemum. Amazing. So I really, the only thing I didn't really like with that second story is the mods.
Yeah.
I get where they went with, because it set up Fennec of how she was saved, and also sets up another character being saved at the end.
Honestly, they could have just kept Thunderbird. You know what I mean? That was the guy at the end. Well, he was like the mod doctor. I honestly don't think we really need it. Like, what was his name? Like Scab and Rash or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think we needed them. Like Scad and Drash. So I was close. First of all, did we need, every time she was on screen, did we need like a soliloquy? Because, like, all she did was she had, like, she had more speaking roles than Fennec.
The other thing is, you're living on a planet with two suns, and you're the palest person on that planet. How is that possible? Right.
The way I look at this second part of the story, the modern aspect of it, is that, again, it's this becomes more city politics. You know what I mean? Where the first story was, like, planetary politics. Now we're in city politics, where you have a corrupt mayor, you have his, you know, his little lackey who added, he was like, he was there specifically for, you know, comic relief.
He was great, though.
He was great. And then you bring in the Pikes and what they're doing to Tatooine, and then the families, the, you know, the Troosians and all the other species that were part, like, divided into quadrants of Mos Eisley, and seeing, like, essentially what money can buy, and it's loyalty. And Boba thought that he had their loyalty, and then the Pikes come in and they say, no, we can offer you triple the credits that Fett's doing, and you're gonna work for us. And I like that we explored the one city, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the finale episode, they're in each quadrant. And the fact that there was ambushed, I thought that that's where it kind of started to regain its voice. And it moved from a Western to more of a war movie. And I thought that that was very interesting. It needs to be said that Robert Rodriguez is the director, obviously, and you know, the showrunner of this season. He gave his, like, he added his voice, and usually his movies are all over the place, and there's three different plots, and there's three different time eras, and he didn't change that for Star Wars. So it's nice to see that Star Wars isn't asking people to change their style.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was good. But what I will say is I still think Dave Filoni and Bryce Dallas Howard had the best episodes in this.
Yeah.
By far. The third part, the third story, was a story that is really the story that kind of divided Star Wars fans, especially when it came to this series. And a lot of people felt that this story wasn't even needed. And that was the Mandalorian side to this that they introduced, which seemed to be two episodes of The Mandalorian Season 2B.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
They were great episodes.
Definitely great episodes, right?
But, yes. But I didn't like that they were part of this. Because it took it away. So, really, you had seven episodes. Really, you only had five.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was... They were great. 100% great episodes. Great storyline. You know, great to see where Mando was. Great to see where Grogu was. We got to see Luke. We got to see Ahsoka. Like, awesome. But I don't think it was needed. Like, that could have been the very beginning of the next episode. Or the next season. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we needed that right now. I want it more of that's the Boba Fett story. So that I wasn't upset about it because they were amazing. Like, if they were shitty episodes and they took away from the Boba Fett, I would have been upset. But the fact they were great is awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. They were the better of the episodes. And I understand that Boba needs to get an army. And who else to get than the guy you helped? He's got to pay his debt, right? So you need it. Din Djarin. But again, it did feel like this was like the intro into Mandalorian Season 3. I feel like, and I may be the only one, I feel like they might have jumped a shark with the Book of Boba Fett, where they took, or at least maybe they're getting Grogu back and Luke, you know, picking, like making Grogu pick and Ahsoka explaining the ways of the Jedi. Maybe that's just showing how intense Mandalorian 3 is, that this stuff wasn't even needed, and they were probably going to cut it. So I'm a little curious to see how that went. All the, like, you needed Mandalorian, you needed Din Djarin in this because Bo-Katan's not going to show up because her and Boba don't like each other. All the other Mandalorians, which we found out were left to, what, three or four, were, you know, isolated. The armorer and... who Jon Favreau played in the first season were all like all that was left, and they were fighting over the Darksaber. The thing that I wish that they didn't do was explain more about the Darksaber and show Mando wielding it. I wish that would have been saved for later in Mandalorian season 3, but overall it was a nice surprise, and I love that like the theme and the score led you to believe that we were getting Mando when Ludwig added the theme song, and I was like, oh shit, Mando's gonna show up. I really thought that that was good, and it made the show a little bit better, to be honest with you. Like, them fighting on jetpacks was absolutely amazing.
Oh yeah, and like I get the Darksaber, but like it kind of showed to me that was kind of needed when he was with the armor, and like he was struggling using the Darksaber, and he was just like, it's heavy, and I think that was needed, because then he saved them at the end of episode 7 when, you know, they had these big, they just were huge droid decoys from the, what they look like from, you know, the original series.
Yeah, they felt like they were straight out of Terminator.
Yeah, but they looked exactly like, what was it, episode 1 when... You know, the Viceroy sent these droids after him, and they kind of look like that, but just on steroids.
Yeah, and they would, like, roll up, and then they expand.
Yeah. So, that was... I think that was needed, because, you know, he used that Darksaber, and it showed that he got a little better at it. I mean, what we really saw defeated the Dark... or those droids were the damn Rancor.
Yeah, which is... kind of brings us into what I wanted to talk about next, is the introduction to these new characters. We've got a lot of new characters. We got Chris Anton, we got the Hutts, we got the Rancor and his badass Rancor keeper, Danny Trejo, Cad Bane, and the mods. Starting with Chris Anton, what did you think about the introduction of him and the Hutts, because they went hand in hand together?
We've talked about this on Lost episodes.
About 9 of them.
I really like the Hutts, and they really dive them into the comics and even in the animated stuff. But you don't really, you know, in the live action, all you know is the Hutt is
Jabba.
And, you know, they talk about the Hutts in episode 1, and you kind of see them a little bit with Jabba when he during the pod racing. But they don't really dive into it. And the Hutts are, like, a huge aspect, I think, in that world of the crime syndicates. And, you know, I've always wanted more Hutts. And the fact when, you know, the twins came in, that was really cool. And then they brought in their bounty hunter, Black Chris Anton, who debuted in Darth Vader number 1 a couple years ago. And he looked amazing.
Yeah, super badass character. I love everything that they kind of set up with him. Even that like that oddly out of place cantina scene where he's like getting hammered and then goes to have the pikes. Like it's kind of like a not an homage, but it's like a deep cut where the pikes, or not the pikes, the Tradotians would hunt Wookiees and use their pelts. So it made sense that Chris Anton didn't like them, regardless of relationship with them. The fact that that is like their mortal enemy, that was a deep cut. I thought that that was very cool. The introduction to the Hutt going into, I think it was episode 2, was my favorite part. That was like my first oh shit moment. And then you see Chris Anton and I'm like, damn, this is going to be legit. And the fact that he was one of the most powerful characters in this entire show, because he should have died about 17 times.
Yeah, he was a beast, literally.
Yeah, like Boba almost killed him in that scene where Boba's fighting him with the space diaper on. Then he almost dies in the finale like 8 times. He was shot 1,000 times, stabbed, he was impaled, and he's still alive. He's going to have time in the BAFTA tank, but his introduction just showed that not all Wookiees are Chewbacca and not all Wookiees are lumpy. So I think that they did a really good job with Chris Anton. The Hutts were great. And then the Hutts went away for a while because, you know, they were there for the rightful heirs to the throne after Jabba was killed and Bib was killed. And they say, you know what? We messed up. We don't want beef with you or the Pikes. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a baby Rancor. And in comes Danny Trejo, all 5'3" of him, on a speeder and says, I'm going to teach you how to be a Rancor. And I know you have a Rancor keeper shirt.
I do.
Your reaction, I remember the text was like, holy shit, Danny Trejo and a Rancor. What, were you still excited when the foreshadow moment when Boba was like, I want to ride it, happened in the finale?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, this is a throwback to the cartoon from the holiday special when he goes, I rode bigger things.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, he's talking to Danny Trejo, and all his name is Rancor Keeper. So he doesn't really have an official name, but, you know, he's sitting there telling him, like, can you ride it? And he was like, well, you know, no. But he was like, well, I've rode bigger things.
Yeah. And, like, I wish, had we not seen, like, episode 5 and 6 being the Mandalorian part 3, I feel like we would have spent a lot of time with Boba learning how to become more affiliated with the Rancor, more familiar. He was, like, imprinting. Like, I thought that was very cool. I wish we dived more into it. Maybe we will in the future. But that scene, even though I knew it was coming, like, when Boba flew away, I was like, well, he's going to ride the Rancor. It still was a big payoff, and I was very excited with that. But what really shocked me was Cad Bane.
Oh, yeah, because we've been talking about this for a while.
And I think we asked for him in this series.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because he fits, you know.
Definitely fits.
He definitely fits in this universe. You know, you can't throw him in, you know, The Rise of Skywalker. He doesn't fit. You know, this is a Western, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a bounty hunter, and he's a ruthless bounty hunter. And he's also, he don't care what side he's on. You know what I mean? And anyone for hire.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Cad Bane. Like, if the money's right, he'll do it. I thought for a minute when Boba and his team vanquished the Pikes that Cad was going to turn. And I didn't think that we were going to have that standoff. But God, I'm so glad we had that standoff. That exposition where he's like, you have your dad's blood in you. You're a killer. Like, you still have that Mandalorian stink. Like, I thought that was great. And it shows that there was such an existing relationship between Cad and Boba Fett. And I don't know if we're ever going to get it. I don't think we're going to get like a Daniel Logan Young Boba Fett series. No. But, man, I didn't want him to die in that episode. Because, like, he was the perfect villain for this season. The Pikes, you know, I always thought it was going to be Crimson Dawn. The Pikes were surprising, and they were good. But bringing in Cad Bane was probably my favorite moment of this series, because that's when I initially, like, marked out. That episode, and I know it was called, like, A Stranger in the Desert. As soon as they went to see Cobb Vanth, I was like, game over. We're getting Cad Bane. And then, like, the Western vibes happen, and you see a figure, I'm like, it's Cad Bane. So I was super stoked with that, and I was really excited. And then, for all the good characters that they introduce, we've got the mods.
Like you said, not so much the Mod Doctor, Thunderbird or whatever his name was.
That's his stage name, Thunderbird. Oh, okay. I think he's just called the Modifier. Had they just kept him, I wouldn't have him any gripes. The mods were awful. They were awful, and they were out of place. They were way too bad. Yeah, but they were way too Back to the Future for me. Like, I picture them on, like, hoverboards. Like, those speeders were way too bright in poor Mos Eisley for these street rats to be riding.
Yeah.
That's essentially like them driving Camaros, brand new Camaros. Like, I didn't sign up for Space Fast and the Furious. When they popped up, I immediately was like, I lost it. And I was like, this series has no idea where its voice is. And I know it led to Fennec getting fixed up. But that was before Boba got to Mos Eisley. That was right after Fennec was shot by Din Djarin. So I was like, why include these? They don't serve a purpose. I was hoping they all died in that final battle. I was all about them.
Well, you said that even before the episode. You were like, the one thing, because we were talking about, you know, off air. And personally, you were like, I'm hoping. I said, what are you hoping in finale? You were like, I hope the mods die.
Yep. And they were terrible.
When there was a part where I really thought they were going to die, and I was like, oh, he might get his wish.
I was hoping, like, just when Star Wars, you think they get their shit together and they eliminate the Jar Jar Binks of the world. They bring in the mods. And it's just like, I feel like I know a lot of people who tuned out the episode that the mods started. And they never got to see Cad Bane. They never got to see Danny Trejo. They never got to see the Rancor. They just stopped watching it because of how bad that scene was. But, you know, we talked about the good characters that we got. And the bad characters. We did get some returning characters.
Yes.
We got Cobb Vanth, which was great. Really thought he was dead up until the finale secret scene. Glad he's not. I'm looking forward to see where that goes. It kind of... like, that kind of led me to believe that this is going to get a sequel, a second season. Wasn't renewed yet, unlike Andor, which is renewed already. But what did you think of the return of, like, Cad Bane or Cobb Vanth, Ahsoka, Luke, and Pelly?
Pelly's great.
Yeah, she is. Amy Sedaris is perfect for this universe.
Yeah. I like them all. I like, you know, they all fit the story in their own way. You know, Cobb is more of a what the future brings, yep. Especially with the end credit scene. And, you know, he was big on, you know, they needed the Freetown people. Yep. And that was the whole reason why Din Djarin went there and, you know, to try to convince Freetown to come. And, you know, they probably couldn't have done it without him.
No, they couldn't. They needed that secondary fire.
Yeah.
And had, you know, I mean, think about it. Boba and Din are on their, like, they're T-bowing, and those droids are blasting them. And out of nowhere, here comes Freetown on a tank.
Yeah.
Like, they literally saved the two toughest Mandalorians in the universe.
So that was a huge part. Pelimoto, she's more of the comic relief, and she kind of, you know, was babysitting Grogu.
Grogu, yeah, with his Beskar chainmail.
Yeah. Which was awesome. And he was like, yeah, look, Dad, look.
Yeah. I love the dynamic between those two. It's so cheesy and heartfelt, but I love it. Like, yeah. It's like a weird father and son vibe. It's like if Homer loved Bart.
Yeah, it's really good. So, like I said, like, everyone fits a story. And then, like, you know, Luke and Ahsoka, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, with the training, and you got to really see Grogu not waddle. He was really jumping around. You know, it reminded me a lot of Yoda when he was fighting Count Dooku in the original or the prequel series.
Yeah. Yep.
But it was good. So I really enjoyed all the returning because they fit the story in their own way.
Yeah. Like you said, Cad fit the story probably the best out of all of them. Ahsoka, that's just a friendly reminder that she's still around. She's getting her series. We're going to see Thrawn. Luke, I don't know if we see him anymore.
I don't think so.
But fun fact, you probably know this, but the building that he was building for his temple, I have been in one of those authentic ones in Ireland, the Beehives, and I was I marked out on that. I showed all my clients pictures of me in Ireland. I was like, I'm taller than those buildings. But that was pretty cool to see. And Pelly, you know, I see Pelly dating Maris Helper.
When she said she used to date a Jawa and they're very furry, I lost
it. Yeah. Yeah, I took a deep dive after that because, like, I want to know what's under the Jawas' capes, right? I know at first it was vinyl, right? So they, when they made the toy, it was vinyl, and they're like, yeah, we got to get rid of this and make it canvas, make it a little more expensive. The Jawas have a rat-like face.
Really?
So they're like walking rats.
And she did.
Their eye, yeah, they're, a lot of people thought they were, like, modded because their eyes are, like, are glowing. They're just rats with glowing eyes. It's very cool. So, you know, Peli is into some bestiality in the galaxy. Here's the big question. One of the two big questions. What didn't work for you, if anything?
I mean, I love the whole series in general. The mods was kind of not needed.
Yep. That's like what didn't work for me.
Like I said, I think the mods were important, or especially the mod doctor. He was important.
Yeah.
Like I said, to show his past and that he's going to fix Cobb in the future. But they were...
they were bad.
Yeah. I was trying to come up with a nicer word.
No, they were a bad addition to this series and an unnecessary series. I would have liked them to, you know, I don't know, go out and find some Tuskens. The Pikes couldn't have committed genocide to every single sand person. There has to be like three or four left. And it would have been nice for, you know, Boba to go there and like show off his staff and say, listen, I'm one of you. We need your help. Let's avenge our people. Like, I wish that would have been like the payoff instead of these stupid modified people. My one client kept calling Scratch or whatever, Scad, Cyborg with the metal eye. And he did look like Jovian Wade a little bit. So I thought that was a little eye trickery. He's from Peaky Blinders, though.
Yeah, I recognize him.
Yeah, I knew him right off the bat. I was like, oh, that's I think he played Isaac in Peaky Blinders. I was like, still not a big fan of you, Scad. But there you are. Isaiah, I'm sorry, not Isaac. Second big question. What was your favorite part?
The final battle was probably my favorite part. Because okay. it brought everyone together. It brought, you know, the Rancor scene was amazing. And then what I really loved about, like, you know, the Rancor was fight. And then when Boba left it, the Rancor went on a rampage.
Yep, and Grogu puts it to sleep and then falls asleep right after.
Yeah. Probably that the whole battle scene was just epic.
I think my favorite part was Cad Bane. And I don't think it was the final scene with him and Boba. I think my favorite part was the scene where he shoots Cobb and the deputy.
Yeah,
his introduction. Just shows you, yeah, it shows you how dangerous this man is and that he was a threat. And I love that they did it with like episode like 5 and we didn't see him for another episode. I thought that was really good and I think that was really smart. But then again, the payoff, him getting killed and only having 2 episodes, was a little disheartening. So let's say for all intensive purposes this gets a second season. Where would you go? I know where I would go.
All right, you're always better than this than me. So where would you go?
All right. Crimson Dawn.
Yeah.
The Pike Syndicate has got to be funded by somebody. The Empire at this moment doesn't exist to the masses, right? They're still kind of in hiding and they're rebuilding. Thrawn is doing his thing. It can't be Thrawn. He's with Ahsoka. It's got to be Crimson Dawn. I think this is setting up the return of Kira. And I think she is the benefactor to the Pikes. Shit's not going to go silent in Mos Eisley. And it's not going to be everybody bowing to Boba Fett forever. There's going to be an invasion. There's always something going on Tatooine. Whether, you know, it's water harvest or water farmers' houses being burned up, Tuskens being massacred, or a Rancor attacking. That's not quiet news. So that's going to get to the benefactor of the Pikes, and I think that's Crimson Dawn. And I think that's where you go. You have Kira show up, and she brings in a bigger syndicate with Crimson Dawn, and it's all-out war, and I think that could be your tie-in to the Ahsoka series, to the Mandalorian season 4, and to Boba Fett season 2.5.
Yeah, we've been talking about Crimson Dawn for a while. And, you know, I keep saying it. They're huge in comics, because they are. So I would really
As of late, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they played a huge part in a great storyline with the War of the Bounty Hunters. And, you know, they got their own with the Crimson Rain, which is ongoing yeah. right now. So, like, that's where they need to go. And, you know, I've said this before, and I think it was in every Lost episode. They need something else besides the Empire.
Yeah.
And this is the biggest syndicate out there, so why not use it?
Yeah, I mean, at first I thought, like, maybe we could go Dr. Aphra, right? You bring her in. She's not a villain, but, like, you bring her in, and that's the connection to Crimson Dawn. And they could take, like, creative liberties, because in the comics, Dr. Aphra worked for Vader, which we yeah. know in this current timeline there is no Vader. Right? Vader's dead?
Yes.
Okay. So at this point, maybe they can make a little creative liberties, and Dr. Aphra comes into Mos Eisley and is looking for work, and Boba hires her, right? Because she knows how to fix droids and stuff like that. And she's a spy for Crimson Dawn, relaying everything back to Kira. And then we have an ambush. And then it's all out war.
That might work. I mean, in the War of the Bounty Hunters, they were not allies. But
I mean, Dr. Aphra is like a quasi-hero, but she started working for the Empire. So yeah. I think that would be, you know, again, creative liberties. I'd honestly like to see Dr. Aphra either get her own series or show up in the Ahsoka series. And instead of working with Darth Vader, she works for Thrawn and is trying to get away from Thrawn and maybe falls in love with Ezra. And that you got that kind of story going on. But we'll see. Finally, the last question of this episode. The Geek Grader. What do you give it?
I want to give it a 10. But...
Really?
The mods ruined it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
I'm on 9.7.
Okay. I'm a full point lower than you. I'm an 8.7. And the reason why is the mods, the lack of full storyline for Cad Bane, and the two Mandalorian episodes. Although I love them, I don't think they were needed and they were necessary, per se. I think parts of them were necessary. And it's always good to see Grogu. And yeah. I feel like, you know, most of those scenes were just for toy grabs.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're definitely going to get a Rancor with Grogu sleeping next to it.
And then I don't know if you saw, today they announced how many people watched the finale. And it is the second biggest finale of a Disney Plus show.
You know, what was the first one? WandaVision?
Loki.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Loki had 1.9 million viewers, and this had 1.5.
Damn, you think about that. If this was a, you know, let's say this was a 2-hour movie, right? 1.5 viewers. I mean, that's putting you up into some pretty good territory as terms of money, which is great. So that means it's going to get a second season.
I'm
here for it.
You can't have that many viewers and just, you know, obviously people were tuned in.
Yeah, and one more thing about my favorite part was when Fennec dismantled the entire Pike Head Syndicate and Mayor hiding ground, and she hung the mayor.
Yeah, it just showed how deadly she actually is.
And, like, ruthless. Like, we see, like, hands getting cut off and stuff like that. I don't think I've ever seen a character hung in a Star Wars universe.
Yeah, probably not.
And I'm absolutely here for it. I want more Fennec. I was saying, like, during that final episode, I was like, where is Fennec? And I was like, oh, there she is, just massacring everybody. So, shout out to Ming-Na Wen. She's amazing.
Amazing.
We need her in more stuff. I'm going 8-7. You're going 9-7. They need to start shooting this a little. They need to streamline the second season because Tamora Morrison is not getting any younger. So let's get that second season out. But that's it, man. We're going to get out of here. Next week, we're going to do another after show for Peacemaker. And we're calling it Keeping the Peace.
Sounds good.
Keeping the Peace with Jim and Chuck. So you have one full week to binge what may be the saving grace of the DC Cinematic Universe, Peacemaker on HBO Max, starring John Cena. Never thought I would say those words in my life, but that's a little preview of where we're at. Follow us on social media, The Active Geek Podcast. Follow Chuck, Chuck underscore The Active Geek. Galaxy Wars, new episode out now. We're discussing blockbusters of 2022. I know you may have heard it from me and Chuck, but this is a full one-hour episode with no filler. This is 100% us breaking down 11 blockbuster movies. So check that out. Cage My IQ every week. Eventually, I'm going to have a special announcement about a project that I'm working on, but we will wait until that is a little bit more complete. Again, thank you for riding with us. We'll see you next week for the Active Geek Podcast. I am Jim.
I am Chuck.
And this is The Way.